This podcast is brought to you by Julius Meinl Coffee. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Chris Taylor, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, mate, very well. Mate, you've had such an illustrious career that started off at the Georgies way back in the 1980s as a player, but after the George Cross era, you went off and you've coached at Melbourne Knights, at South Melbourne, now at Oakley. But let's start with your playing career back in the day, back in the 80s at Sunshine George Cross. And how did that come about? And what year was it when you first joined the Georgies?
Yeah, it was there was two of us, me and a boy called Roger Bain, who came out from, we're both Leicester boys, and we came out here in 1981 to play for Sunshine City, who at the time was, you know, with tenants on the ground with George Cross down at Chaplin Reserve. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years, the two clubs amalgamated and I became a Georgie from then. And I think I had something like 9 years at the club as a player.
Yeah. Hi, Chris. It's Craig. So as a player, you were in those illustrious days back in the 80s, you would have played with some great players at Chaplin's Reserve, I'm sure. Who was the best that you played with and why?
Look, I think there are a lot of good players. You know, the likes of Donny McLaren, who's playing for the Socceroos now. But I think probably the biggest talents I played with would have been John Markowski. Remembering him at 15 coming into the seniors and, you know, being probably the most talented player I've ever seen at that sort of age. You know, and dare I say it, you know, great kid and everything like that, but probably... probably was a talent that probably could have done a lot more with his career than what he actually did. Hell of a talent. But then there were people like Andrew Marth and Paul Trimboli, and, you know, the club had that sort of eye for young talent, and they developed them well right the way through, even when Ernie Merrick were there at the end of the NSL days, you know, bringing through players like Craig Foster and, you know, the one or two really top players, David Clarkson. So the club's always had that ability to bring through young players. But, yeah, I'd say John Markowski was the biggest talent I've played with.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that and you didn't say Steve Sherry, because Steve Sherry was my sister down at Point Cook, and he always told me he was the best player ever to play at Georgia's. So.
Yeah, he played a few years down there. Good lad as well, Steve, yeah.
Now, mate, what was your greatest moment when you wore the Georgie shirt as a player? So back to your playing days.
Look, I think the big thing about George Cross, it was pretty much a working class club, and they epitomised that sort of background. And if you put in, you know, put in a good shift and played for the shirt and the badge, I think that's what the supporters admired the most. And we weren't the club that went out and won championships. You know, we were in a tough league at the time, the NSL. So sometimes it was, you know, going places like Adelaide City and beating them in the cup. You know, which we did on a number of occasions, but we always seemed to be an underdog that got very good results. But, you know, probably the most memorable times for me were playing in the derbies against Green Gully that were, may I say, passionate affairs that always brought out the best in both clubs, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's just what was my next question, actually. What was the best game or greatest game you played in? I presume that would have been a George's Green Gully derby.
Yeah, and they were always close games. We didn't always get out on the right side of the result, but some great memories there, and you know, good friends along the way. But at both clubs, you know, they were great times and very passionate games. But you know, our supporters were the most passionate people out there. They were fantastic to play for, and we used to get some really big crowds down at Chaplin Reserve.
Now, Chris, you transitioned into coaching at Georgie's. That was your first coaching job, was it? And when did you start?
No, actually, I think I coached at Sunbury to start off with, but I had about 5 years at Green Gully before I coached at George Cross.
Okay. How'd that come about? Who'd you take over from, if you can remember?
At George Cross, I think Steve Chakuti was coach at the time. And I think they were in the second division, so I took them from second division back into the VPL or NPL as it is now. So we had two years where we won leagues, and got promoted. So, yeah, good times, and we had some good young kids. Manny Muscat, I think, was captain at 17. Trent Waterson came through. So some very, very good young kids come through at the time as well, which, you know, as I said before, that epitomises what George Cross have always been about, giving young kids the opportunity and that. And that's something you don't see as much happening nowadays.
Yeah, have young kids been given the opportunity, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you'll never see, I mentioned John Markowski before, but you're never going to see a 15-year-old playing senior football nowadays. It doesn't mean that they're not good enough. It's sometimes that we tend to hide them and mask them in a youth system that probably leaves a lot to be desired. You know, back in those sort of days, you know, we were competing in World Cups and getting to semi-finals with the likes of Paul Ocon and John Markowski and Lawrence Kidner and people like that. We don't do that anymore. So, you know, that's one area that I think the game over here needs to really look at and harness and probably put back to, you know, to what it used to be when we used to have very good kids coming through.
Chris, a few weeks ago on another show that I host here at Football Nation Radio, the Geelong Region Soccer Show, we had Chris Trajanovski, who ended up as a junior coming to Sunshine George Cross and then moving to South Melbourne, to Sydney Olympic and what you're not. But it was a question that we posed to him. He played in the NSL back in those days in the late 80s, early 90s. And we said, players of that era, would they be more than competitive, or would they be competitive, or would they struggle at in the today's A-League? And he was adamant, look, if they were professional players of that era, they were more than competitive, if not better. In fact, he actually said they were better. Would you agree with that sort of constatation?
Yeah, look, I thought there were some really talented players around in them days. I think, obviously, the game has changed. It's got a lot faster. It's become more about the athlete than the technical side of it, but we had some great players back in those days. You know, people ask me the question, who's the best player you played against? And I think when we were at George Cross, we played against a Footscray side coached by Seca Lowrich, who was a legend in himself, but he had a couple of young kids. He had a boy playing for him, Stosic, who 2-3 years later played in a European Cup final for Red Star Belgrade. And you're not going to get that sort of player playing in the A-League at the moment. So that kind of typified the sort of players that were coming out and playing out here, and players that went overseas and played, the likes of Eddie Krencevich and people like that. There were some really good players around in them days. Albeit, you know, probably not as glamorous as the A-League, playing in stadiums and that sort of thing, but there were some talented footballers going around. But also the youth system was very good, and you know, there was always good kids coming into the game that took the league by storm.
Yeah, and on that, you just said that you know, players were going abroad, and he played in the European Cup for Red Star Belgrade. We've seen a lot of players, or A-League players, going abroad for 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, but coming back. What's the reason for that? Is the way that they've been brought up football-wise here and are not street-wise and ready for that test?
Yeah, look, I actually think we've probably got it a little bit wrong, and it's probably gone back 10 years or so. We've got a system now which enforces players to stay and play over here and get into the A-League system, whether that's youth football or senior football. But a number of years ago, some of our best players, Harry Kuehl, Cale and people like that, they were going overseas at the age of 14 or 15 and forging careers for themselves, becoming apprentices overseas. And that's really where they got the grounding. You know, and some of our best players have not been produced locally. They've grown up over here, of course, but, you know, they're going overseas like Kuehl did at 14, 15. You know, getting in a professional environment, and that's what sets them apart. Now, I think what we do really poorly at the moment, you know, I've got a 9-year-old playing down at Oakley, but he might play 14 or 15 games a year. If he's playing in Europe, he'd be playing, you know, 50 or 60 games. And I think that's where we let ourselves down really poorly. You know, I know that you know, there's fix your list and that sort of thing. But, you know, you have a week off for Easter, you have a week off for Greek Easter, and then you have a bye the following week. You've played it, you've gone a month, and, you know, the kid's not played a game. So I think that's where we're lacking a little bit, that the football over here is not as seasoned and hardened as what it is in some of the top countries in Europe and South America, you know, where kids are playing all around the clock. And for long hours in the day, you know, our boys just don't play enough football.
No, I think, you know, I was lucky enough to have Cardiff City over to do some coaching for me in January, and they did a presentation about their junior setup, and you're absolutely spot on, Chris. You know, their 9-year-olds are playing 65, 70 games a season. And our young kids are really not. You know, even State League and NPL, at NPL level, what you're playing, 26 competitive games a season. You know, that's 26 weeks of 52. So the other half of the year, they're not playing any football at all. And, you know, we can't continue to, or Australia can't continue to expect huge results on the football field if we're not developing the youngsters and giving them opportunity to play football at a lower level.
Chris, whilst we're talking about the juniors, now, obviously, you said you've got your little one playing at Oakley. You're involved at the NPL level coaching Oakley at the moment, and you've had a long and lustrous career at South Melbourne. With the restructuring, particularly the junior restructuring next year, where Football Victoria talking about the junior NPL season being, I think, a total of 33 weeks, and clubs having to have a 40-week availability with their council grounds or whatever, is that a step in the right direction, or it's still not enough?
Look, I think we get clouded a little bit, you know, and I've got to be careful what I say. You know, I'm an NPL coach, and I've got to back the system. You know, I've been in the system for a number of years, but my primary objective at the moment is there's a lot of people making money out of the game out there, whether it be academies and those sort of things. But you got the NPL, which, you know, some of the kids are paying $2,000-$2,500 in fees. Are they getting great coaching? That's debatable, but we're certainly not producing the players that we used to produce when, you know, it was a case of turning up and playing and paying subs, which were very small. Whereas, you know, I've got a boy across the road who plays footy and pays about $120 a year to play footy, gets coached by some of the AFL boys, and in our game, it's really an elite sport. You know, you're paying $2,000-$2,500. You get driven to training by your parents, who generally got Mercedes or BMWs driving kids around, and it's just not the passion that there used to be. And that's where I think we're letting ourselves down a little bit. It's becoming an elitist game, and we've got to get back to the grassroots, where you've got kids that play because they love the sport and, you know, want to put the hours in. You know, we've got kids now that think, you know, you can go training twice a week and train for an hour and become a pro player. Yeah. It don't work that way.
Or not turn up at all and expect to play on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mate, thank you very much. We've gone a little bit over time. We're going to have to wrap it up, but I'll allow Craig to have any last questions, and then if you've got any last words you've got to say, Chris.
So, Chris...
Sorry, Craig, for butting in.
You're right. From my point, just like to thank you for coming on tonight, our first show. It's always nice to get a high-profile guest on, so really appreciate your time. I know you were looking forward to coming in, but unfortunately you weren't able to make it. But thanks for giving us the time on the phone, and, you know, best of luck with everything with Oakley for the remainder of the season, and look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Yeah, and I just want to wish everyone all the best at George Cross. You know, I've had some great times there, and very passionate about the club, and you know, moving to the new ground, I wish them all the best and all the success, and I'm sure Eric will do very well with them.